Peace be with you. This is Voice of the Shepherd, a 10-minute message brought to you by Bethany Lutheran Church in the town of Easton. I'm Pastor Stephen Jurdy. Today I would like to walk with you through a reflection on love. When did you last think about love? Well, maybe you did here at the beginning of this past week as we celebrated Valentine's Day. Of course, Valentine's Day was originally and still is a commemoration of Saint Valentine, a martyr of the early church who wrote love letters to his congregation after he had been arrested and placed in prison for confessing the name of Jesus. His love letters, of course, were filled with the love of Christ. So what exactly is love? We hear a lot about love these days, what it is and what it isn't, and perhaps you've heard the popular slogan, love is love. But is love love? What is the greatest love that you can imagine? Perhaps there is a good place to begin. Imagine the greatest love possible. What does it look like and how do you know that it is love? Does this love have a name? What good thing does it share and how does it share it? For if any love deserves the name love, then it must share something good. You might even say imagining the greatest love you could ever imagine is the same thing as imagining the greatest good. Travel the world, visit every city, build a home in every land, and you will find many answers to these questions. All kinds of people can paint an image of the greatest love ever. Every religion has a vision of the good, and many of them are very attractive. But in the end, there is always one final frontier, one last boundary that stands as the test of any love you'll ever know. And that boundary is a boundary probably well known to you. It is the boundary of death. In our mad modern rush to construct the best and the most loving society, one that includes everyone, we almost never pause to ask if our vision of love includes the dead. That's the great selfishness of the living. We tend to think that we're the ones who matter. But of course, there are far more dead people than there are living ones. Just consider, who is it who crowds your mind when you are finally left to your own thoughts? Who stands with you when you stand before yet another Christmas tree some quiet evening? Or see yet another year come and go? Or see another generation of people pass from childhood to adulthood? On whose shoulders do you stand in all of your work, all of your play, all of your politics, all of your worship, if not on the shoulders of the dead? They are with us even now. At the very least, we still love them. And the ones whom we knew and loved, loved others whom we did not know. And can the greatest love possible not care about the loves of those whom it loves? No. To imagine the greatest love possible, one that overcomes every boundary and that welcomes all people, it must be a love that includes not only those who are breathing and walking around, but also those who have breathed their last and been laid to rest. It must also be a love that shares something good with the dead. And what is the greatest good that we could ever give to the dead but a new life that is utterly healed and made whole? Yes, that is the greatest love possible. That is what the greatest love must be able to do. It must be a love in whose presence the dead are no longer dead, but alive. A love that can even reach backwards into history and undo the injustices and heal all the wounds of the past. A love that can restore to the family of creation all that it has lost. You see, the old canard, love is love, really isn't true. Loves differ from one another, love from love. And any love that can't raise the dead may still be love, but it is a love with a limit. A love that has met its match. A love for a little time, but not forever. For love to be true love, it must not only deal with what is, but also with what was and what will be. It must not only deal with the future, but also with the consequences of the past, and it must do so in such a way that it does good for all, even the criminals. To put it bluntly, true love must include a resurrection of the body, a restoration of what is lost, and a healing of what is injured, a setting right of what is wrong, a care not only for those who breathe and have a mind, but also for every creature, from the molten lava at the center of the earth, to the virus that dwells among the distant stars, to the dead who sleep in their tombs. For love to be love, it must even be the kind of love that could turn its own death into life. And that is the love that goes by the name of Jesus. You know what I mean. Jesus turned his death into life for all who trust in him, for his death dealt with our sin and carried it away. Jesus is the love who has a name and who gives you that name that you may call on him in prayer. He is the love who includes not only the living but also the dead, because he promises resurrection and eternal life. He is the one in whose body creation was restored. And as he opens that body more and more to those who trust in him, he restores more and more of the creation. Jesus died, and now he has risen from the dead, and in his flesh, breathing the Holy Spirit, he declares that he lives to show mercy on whomever he wishes to show mercy. This is the message that Jesus brings to you. He says that he has already reached back into your past, even the parts of your past that you have not yet lived, and he has taken on responsibility for all the sin, all the injuries, all the injustices that he may find there. He has taken on the responsibility to forgive them, to restore them, and to make them well in a way that not only blesses you, but that also blesses the whole creation, that even blesses those who have sinned against him, those who put him on the cross. Consider these words from Romans chapter 8, written by St. Paul. St. Paul knew all about people limiting love. That is, he knew all about people trying to limit the power of love to heal, to forgive, to set things right, and to gather a new people into a new creation. For St. Paul was arrested, beaten, put in prison. He was a man who starved, who found himself on the outs with his countrymen and perhaps even members of his own family. What does he say about the love of Jesus Christ? Beginning at verse 35 of Romans chapter 8, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And that is the love that deserves the name love, the love that cannot be stopped by any power. Not only can it not be stopped by death, but it also can't be stopped by life. Not only can it not be stopped by you and me, but also it cannot be prevented from having its way by the angels of heaven. This is the love that has overcome the grave. This is the love that has come for you. And that is this week's Voice of the Shepherd, brought to you by Bethany Lutheran Church in the town of Easton. Bethany worships each Sunday at 10:30 a.m., and you are most welcome to join the believers there in praising Jesus Christ and receiving his gifts. Until next week, may he bless your day.